second. Yeah, paused it.
In a minute is the Decades in Recovery.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
1, 2, 3, testing.
As long as the red light's on, it's working. You can't see it from there. But
testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Chuck's going to get here as sick as the hair in my face. The only thing is, this is important.
Sure.
All right. Do you have anything?
I didn't even look at the back.
Yeah, this is what you got to read because it's got
it. Perfect. Do you want me to do this part? I was.
Mike and Olivia.
Why not? I will call that.
How many minutes do you have?
Yeah, not yet.
Would you like to?
She's already the.
Oh, she's.
I said that last night, and the whole room was full when I looked out.
I got to
finish a book.
Yeah.
You can.
But I want any warning?
No, I'm only kidding. You know, yeah, I don't think you should do it.
Well, it's 20 minutes either way, whether you get 2 additional warnings or not.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it a 5-minute warning.
Okay. It's 4 o'clock, and we're a full house of chairs. I'll read the recording. Let's begin with the Serenity Prayer and take a moment of silence. Serenity. Accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. This workshop is Decades in Recovery. My name is Linda, and I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. And I'm seated with Charlene, and we are co-leaders for this meeting. Yeah, I know her, but I forget her name. We'll have up to 20 minutes to speak, and then we'll open the room for shares on topics for up to 3 minutes. This is being recorded and may be published. It will be published at a later date. Sharing at the microphone, you are consenting to be recorded, and you give your permission to publish the recordings. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name. If you would like to share, please form a line at the front of the room. Room is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your only for opening meeting for 3-minute share. Sorry about that. Well, we might have more people. Charlene is going to share first.
My name is Charlene. I go by Char usually, but you can call me anything you'd like except late for dinner. And I've been in this program. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery today, and I'm also a relapse survivor. And my relapse taught me a lot about how the program worked, you know, and how I wasn't working it correctly during that relapse. I kind of put some notes together because I do want to stay on the topic of decades in recovery. I attended my first meeting in 1980, and I consider the 80s my decade of awareness, learning, and acceptance. Summer of 1980, just before my 35th birthday, I was weighing 192 pounds. I had children, a military husband, and just a very busy life. And I had the opportunity to go to a doctor for an appointment. Hadn't been on a scale in quite a while. And he asked me how long I had been open. And that was very difficult to hear. So when I say my 80s were the date of awareness, him saying that really shocked me into being aware of, yes, I am definitely obese. And I had tried everything out there. So the rest of the, prior to that, I began working with a sponsor that first year in program, and I was determined that this program was going to work for me because I had tried everything else, and a coworker had been losing weight. She introduced me to this program. I had never heard of it in 1980, and it was already 20 years old, you know, and the fact that I hadn't heard of it after so many diets and different weight loss ways and plans. So I learned. This was the decade of my learning about this program. And, I went to my first meeting with her. I, for about four or five meetings, never asked for responses. And someone stopped me at the end of a meeting one time, and working with a sponsor, and really didn't want to get involved. I just need to lose a little weight. And she told me to call her in the morning, and I did. And so for the next year, or close to a year, I called her faithfully, omitted my food, answered the questions that she asked me to write on, working the steps. And so that first year in program, I learned later on, I wasn't abstinent. Although I lost the 50 pounds I needed to following that food plan, I was dieting. I wasn't abstinent, but I wasn't working this program. So then I think of the rest, not only the awareness and then the learning, it had to be acceptance that followed. And I got that acceptance very late in the 80s, you know, in that decade of the 80s. In 1989, the spring of 89, because after and losing, I do it myself. So I spent the next 8 years, almost the whole rest of that decade of the 80s, of just doing it my way, thinking I could do it. And what happened was I got to the lowest bottom I had ever gotten to. I not only gained the 50 pounds back, I added 40, so I was now 90 pounds heavier than I was when I started OA. And I gained that weight in the rooms. But what is, don't stop coming. You know, the miracle will happen. You know, sooner or later. So I was in that 8 year relapse. That's why I call myself a relapse. I had power, knew I needed more research. I needed, you know, and I did that, you know, for those 8 years. And then along came the 90s, you know. It was the very end of 89 at a meeting that I was going to, and I never stopped coming, as I said. I spoke with at the break, you know, didn't have a sponsor, and neither did I, because heaven forbid, you know, and I expected someone to ask me, like my first one, all those years. So I learned a lot in that first decade, and that taught me, really was given a gift, you know, a program, but I had to open that gift, and I had to cherish the gift, do the work I needed to keep the gift, you know. So I have, I was given the gift of willingness. You know, that's the most important gift I think I got, and my willingness to do what my sponsor suggested, you know, and to work rules, do the service, and live the steps and traditions. It was truly a gift. And every morning when I say my prayers, I choose to open this gift. You know, I often say, all I have to do is untie the ribbons. It's there every morning. And, so it gave me a whole new outlook when I began to lose that weight. I had lost the 90 pounds within a year after surrendering to the program. And so the 90s began after 89. And that next decade, consider my decade of willingness, surrender, perseverance. Most, you know, it took all of that, and I had a whole new willingness at that point. I was given with the abstinence. I put the food down in 1989. I began working with a sponsor, and I began losing the weight. And once I had lost the weight and had been working the steps, I developed a willingness to participate in service. And if anyone was at the previous workshop, we talked about how important service was the program. And I had a whole new willingness to volunteer. So it was willingness, surrender, you know, all those things entered into the 90s for me. I had began doing service. And at the beginning, it was nothing more than putting out chairs, you know, saying hi to somebody new. Just whatever I needed to do, holding the key, putting out literature. And then I took on what I felt was the biggest service. It was early 90s or mid-90s, I began sponsoring. And that was one of the biggest, because I never thought I was good enough. You know, all those 8 years of being in relapse, I said, I'm not good enough, nobody wants to hear me, nobody wants me to sponsor them, or, you know, sponsor me. And I learned that that wasn't true. It was rolling around in my head. So I began the service of sponsoring. And I always thought that was for others, because, you know, I just didn't think I had what it took to become a sponsor. Someone had said, all it takes to be a sponsor, if somebody reaches out and asks for help, I don't want to say no. No, I don't want to say no. It may work out, it may not. It's not my call right away. And so I'll work with folks, you know, when I'm asked to sponsor. I began using the tools of recovery during the 90s. And I don't know why, until it took me years in relapse, I didn't use the tools. You know, it's just a long to figure out what was going on. Learner, obviously. I began using the tools. I don't use them all every day, and I don't use them all perfectly. And the tools I've heard are the handrails of the city. Into a structured 12-step meeting and did my first step. I went all through the steps with a sponsor. I began working this program and living this program to the best of my ability. The 90s were the decade of loss for me. The 90s and the early 2000s. I had to write them down because so many. I lost a 26-year-old nephew to another addiction. I lost in-laws. I lost my mom. I lost two brothers-in-law. I lost friends. So there were so many. And I didn't have to pick up and eat. You know, that decade of the 90s, getting through that made me realize even that didn't warrant my picking up the food, because I didn't want to go back to that 240 pounds, you know. And so as I worked through the steps, you know, in the 12-step structured meeting, I felt the time that had come that now I can offer more service. You know, I felt, I hate to use the term worthy, but I felt motivated, you know, motivated to give back to this program. In the 90s, I began doing service at my local meeting, as I did. The end of the 90s, someone said to me, come on along to Interfaith Detroit. We have a good time. Oh, and I'm off for a good 1999. And I have been at that intergroup faithfully since then. You know, so in a couple of decades. And that's what has kept me connected. Doing service keeps connected. It won't keep me. I have to do the footwork to do that. You know? But doing the service, if I sit at home, or if I only attend Zoom meetings, we have fortunate live meetings come back in our area. If I don't attend the live meetings or come, I get very hung up on, oh, I'll go in the other room and turn on Zoom. And I just think, you know, the early 2000s, that gave us the opportunity. It brought Zoom into our OA life, I think, pandemic struck. And I think that was, for OA, a blessing in disguise, because we reached out. We didn't want to. I started with phone meetings. And then Zoom came along. And maybe or six, five, without connecting, started with a phone meeting, which we ran. That was a blessing, but it was huge. Not once, you know, everything had cleared, we were able to go back. And so we, you know, just a year ago, June, we started back another, and it's been blossoming. We usually get some, and it's wonderful. So it's the decade of the 20s, and then I thought, no, it's 2000. You know, it's, anyway, the decades that started with the 20s were my decades of learning, encouragement, the start of service that I was doing, other than going to intergroup and party, and giving, well, intergroup is above the group level. I began giving service above the group level in the two. And I became intergroup rep for my meeting. I began volunteering for committees. I was I was elected at one point, and then a region rep, and then a World Service delegate. And if anyone has never gone above their regular weekly group meeting, I highly recommend it. It is a joy with other compulsive leaders from within our region, within our intergroup world, Maybe you ever get the chance to get to work. But you know, the 2000s began on a real high note because the year 2000 was the first year I attended World Service. I had a 3-year term and then say the word break, because that kind of refers to I broke abstinence. No, it was to have rotation of service after that first 3 years, and then I was elected. And I just loved it. People from my home intergroup went out. We were able to send more than one. We can send two in the service. Not everybody is either qualified or volunteers or can do it, because it takes a big amount. So I want to say most is that I can recover a day at a time, and when I stop and look and think it's been 45 years since I have been abstinent one day at a time for 36, long is almost 4 decades, and I just close my mind. I said, how can I be that old? How can I possibly be that old? You know, the gifts of old, it's helped my health, helped my mental status. I have a wonderful, I've been blessed with a son of 61 years, and I wouldn't be still married to this man if it wasn't for him, you know. I had to clean my side of the street and to improve our relationship, and I've been blessed with 3 grown sons. One of my oldest boy is 6, and I have 3 great-grandchildren. I can get on the floor with my little 3-year-old great-grandson, and, you know, gifts. The gifts that just keep on giving, just keep on giving. And it all came a day at a time, decade after decade. And I don't know how much time I have, but I don't want to ramble. Thank you. And, you know, just can't imagine not being in this program. My life today, you know, it saved me. Keep coming and doing as much as I can to...
Linda, compulsive eater and a food addict. Thank you. I've been around for first, and I started in 1980. And I remember going into that meeting. There were over 40 at the meeting. Everybody was into one another. I remember sitting in the back of the row because I didn't want anybody to pay attention to me at all. But I went to the newcomers meeting and heard about the 3, and that was 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. And I only came to lose weight. But I do realize, or I did realize at the time, that there was something here. And it was the first time in my life that I've ever felt like I belonged somewhere. So I carried on and sponsor. I wouldn't go to step studies. I honestly and truly didn't. I didn't know what the steps were. I only had AA books at the time. The way ones hadn't been written. And I said I was too... My kids at home, there were 2 of them, and a half and 9, something like that, and I wasn't willing to a babysitter, so I would only go to the hour meeting, so they were only left alone for an hour. My sponsor wanted me to go to the step study. I just said, no, I want to stay at the other one. So I, you know, a couple of years passed. I was good. I can't tell you what I weighed, but I hadn't reached 300 pounds at that stage. I lost half my body weight. And so I decided, I think it was 1984, January the 1st, we went to a New Year's brunch at a hotel. And I took my kids, and it was, they were having a blast. And that was when I'd been strong abstinent, but I was exposed to food. I actually ate some of the food that I didn't, and I started getting all these ideas. So I wasn't particularly honest with my sponsor then. And she left. And self-honesty is not my strong suit, so I sort of relapsed. And then I get to 1991, and I'm still hanging on for dear life, but almost 300 pounds or more. And I get a new sponsor. So there was a period where I was looking at what I was going to do for my abstinence, because I had February 1992, I was going to be abstinent. So I didn't really, I was going back to 301 again. So I took a look and I thought, well, I go to this restaurant where I work and I'm having a fried food every day. So we'll give that up. That was the first thing I gave up. And actually it was the second thing, because the first thing I gave up was 10 cups of coffee a day with cream. And when I did that and I went and I didn't put cream in my tea, I had 3 tea bags a day. So I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I made it in a teapot, so I got 1.5 cups of tea. I never lost any weight, and I was so disappointed because I was positive there was going to be a ton of weight fall off. Didn't come off. Didn't happen at all. And then I gave up the restaurant, and I did other things. Like when it came to the coffee, I was extremely honest. I was part of a coffee fund at work, and I had that much, so I paid into that coffee 8 months without having any coffee to make up for all. I don't imagine it really did, but my version of seventh staff to pay my own way. But I still wasn't, I was starting to go to step studies and I was starting to do things, but I still wasn't really working a program. I was trying, I figured it out. This program is, for one, it's not for the faint of heart, but not only that, it's not easy to understand. I used to wonder, they said they were working the steps. What is working the steps? Well, you go to a step study and they read the tradition or the step. They talk about it. And I'm going like, so I'm thinking work is a lot more than reading and a lot more than discussing, but I just kept doing it because my sponsor had lost a couple of 100 pounds and she was strong and with her abstinence, she was firm and she didn't change anything. And I thought, I've got to do that. Somehow, I willingly started to let go of foods. Just before I was truly abstinent, I had made my supper and my son's supper, and I ate his as well as mine because I was sitting in front of the TV. So one of the abstinences I had is I love to eat in front of the TV. I had to go then and find something for him to cook. I was very shocked. He didn't know any different, but I did. I had to own that. And so I had to recount, start my count at that. I still was going and going. I got transferred to Toronto. And this was late 1996. And I was walking everywhere. I was having a blast. I felt like that show with Mary Tyler Moore where she arrived at, I think, New York City or something and threw her out in the air. That's the only thing I didn't do because I was so excited to be in a big city. Well, it was just a city. But I was really happy to be doing it. I moved to Mississauga, which was about an hour outside of Toronto. Took the train every day, and then things didn't because of the YA. And I moved back to Kitchener-Waterloo. It got easier for me to be abstinent to the first of the two. I was commuting every day, and it was a 4-hour commute, 2 hours each way. So basically, I had breakfast at home and took my lunch and supper with me. And then when I got home, I had to make the meals to carry with me again and get to bed, so I had to get up in the morning. So my days were really full. And the other side of this for me was finance. Because when I was abstinent, I wasn't careful with my money. So therefore, when I became abstinent again, I had to be careful. I couldn't afford, that was the reason I carried both meals. I could not afford to eat out. And I didn't buy a lot of things like coffee or anything else like that. When, as a snack, I just did what I did. And very slowly, I persevered and accepted that. At that stage, I was really working for my pension. Is what I was. I knew I had to work till I was 65, and I wanted things taken care of financially, so that's what I did. I just focused on it, and I went to meetings, and I did service. When I came back from Mississauga, the meetings that I went to prior to, and it was only 2.5 years, all of them were gone but one, and one of the meetings had gone to a school where the door wasn't left open, there was no lighting, so it was fall, and I'm trying to find this meeting and try to find the entrance, and it was dark out, you needed a flashlight to find your way. So I was part of another person, and we got a location for being, and it started to grow. Sometimes I always got off the train on Tuesday, went to my meeting, came home, and continued on. And it was a good time. Like it was, even though I was working and I was abstinent and I was very struggled and I was following everything, I just kept on doing what I was doing because it was important to be walking a lot and I had lost weight. And then all of a sudden, my knees were going. The right one was the worst, and somebody said, well, you don't want to do this because I had surgery. Well, by the time I listened to that, I was not able to walk the way I had been. And I went to a rheumatologist in Toronto, and he said, you don't have anything except very bad knee. Me too, an orthopedist, and I had my right knee replaced. And that was, I was 58 at the time. I'm not going to do the math, can't do, and for the year. But anyway, I did all the exercises and everything, and I got my life back. I don't do phone meetings, and I was in face-to-face meeting. I had two or three of them in Kitchener-Waterloo, so it was okay. And then my left knee went, and I got that one done. And by golly, when I got myself up and exercised and my bend was there and I was able to walk, I was back there doing just what I had done before, really enjoying things. Still commuting into Toronto and still abstinent. So I'm working away, learning how to do things, new mobility and getting out there and doing service. And then I started to do intergroup service. And how I ended up doing intergroup service, quite honestly, I had changed the meeting address and inputted it, World Service put my home address in. And somebody showed up at the meeting at my house for 7 o'clock. And I was at the meeting. Well, I wasn't very polite about it. I was rude, as a matter of fact. And I don't know who I was rude to. So my living amends was, for 6 years, I did all the meeting updates at World Service. And guess what? I did that too. I put somebody's home address in instead of the meeting address. How easy that mistake was to make. It was so funny. Well, I just kept on because the reason I like doing service so much is because I live by myself now. I raise my kids on my own, and they're all grown up. I was with people, they're my peeps. They do the same thing with food. If I tell my son doesn't understand it, although he understands why I go to the meeting, but he doesn't understand if I said to him, whoever's in the pantry there is talking to me, I know he would think that I needed my head examined. Because normal people, because he's normal with food. And so therefore, it was for me, this was a blessing. And I have some really good friends in this film. I was doing step studies and meetings, and then they came out with the workshop, the step workshop, and we started doing workshops in the till 2020, and we were doing the workshop that they wrote, the green one, and that was fun because I started to understand things more, and the traditions are another thing to really, really understand. The steps are pretty simple when you compare them to the traditions. For me, when it comes to the seventh tradition, for instance, I found there's a part that's, for me, 1 week, or for a period of time, it was more than 1 week, I thought, I don't have enough money. So I was putting $5 into the basket. I dropped it to $1. And I did that for a while. And then I was stressed out about finances. I was really, really concerned. And I don't know what made me change my mind. I suspect it was higher power and an intuitive thought, because up until then, I really didn't give higher power a lot of credit. And I started putting the $5 back in the basket, and I was free of finances. And then another time happened, and I did the same thing. And then the third time, I test drove it. And I just went, I'm just going to test this, see if it happens. And lo and behold, when I didn't put the right amount of money in that basket, I got very worried about finances. And everybody does their finances their own way. I was functioning. I got it so that I knew exactly what I was doing, and my bill money was put in another account. Well, I worked in a bank, so I had like 6 bank accounts, so I split money up all over the place. One of the personal bankers looked at it and said, I don't know how you manage it, but it worked for me, and I was okay with it. But all of that, I was learning and learning and learning how to use the traditions in my life. And the other tradition, we were reading it recently, service is part of tradition 7. So not only do I do financial support for OA, I have to be financially sound for myself. So that's following the traditions. I used to, before I got in the late 80s, early 90s, I used to go and get brand new clothes for myself, and I wouldn't just buy one item. It was like I was binging on buying clothes, and I come home with $300 worth of clothes on credit. Now, I still use the credit card, but I pay it off. I wasn't paying it off at that stage. But I don't buy $300 worth of clothes very often. I'm retired now. I don't need the same clothes, types of clothes. So anyway, I was just learning all of this stuff and keeping everything together. And then, oh, service. So here I am promoting service at the meetings. And we were doing this on Zoom because when 2020 came, so I had smoke damage in my home. And it's a long story that I only have 5 minutes. So I left a pot on the stove, didn't mean to, came home, and my son's a firefighter, and I had smoke all over the house, but no fire. So I actually lived at his house from January to March, early March, back in the pandemic hit. And I knew that I couldn't miss meetings. So I got a free Zoom account, and we were using it. Then I paid for the account. I didn't even care if anybody paid. Well, there's two meetings and I share my Zoom account. They use it. I don't even use it anymore. And we met on Zoom. And we had people volunteering to do all kinds of service. Now, fast forward to 2025, it's not what it was back then. We were all trying to protect our program, but I need to go back in person. But driving at night, I'm 78, and driving at night right now, I have one eye that's gone. I have macular, and wet is this one getting injections. This one is fine. Night driving is not an easy task, but I'm going to have to do something because there's a big on Zoom all the time and showing up in person. But I still do service, so we've been pumping the service. So I go to these conventions, I go to retreats, I have a sponsor, and I sponsor. I try, because I don't do it every day, but part of my regular routine has been for 20 years is to make my bed, sit down, read, write, talk to God, try to listen for God's response, but some days I don't. And the bed, making my bed part is really important because that means that I'm finished and then I get ready, I get dressed, and I go down, have breakfast, that kind of stuff. The structure, I need structure and I need discipline. I was very undisciplined. So I have lost the privilege of being spontaneous when it comes to food. So I cannot spontaneously say, I'll go out for supper. No, I can't do that. I have to have it planned. Because spontaneity for me, it's not bad now. Now it's easier. But spontaneity for me meant I was going to have a fancy dessert at a restaurant. Wow. I do not go to buffets because buffets mean that I we're here at a buffet and I understand there's a difference. But when you go to a restaurant buffet, a lot of people see how many plates they can have. So I would rather go to a sit-down restaurant and be waited on, and I feel very happy that I am not overeating. I just order my food, I eat what I'm served. If I can't finish it, that's fine. My first sponsor said I was leaving food for the food god when I left food on my plate. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But all of these things I have done, and it has taken years for me. And there'll be another lesson that I'm going to learn, and I'll have to make another change. And change isn't easy. I don't like changing anything. And I don't, for me as a compulsive eater, it's hard. It is hard for normals as well. So I do the best I can to adapt. When I give up service, I have to really give up service. I can help, and then I have to walk away because I still want to have my hand in the pot, and I can't. I have to let that person do what they want to do, and it will be fine. But it's very interesting because this has evolved. This has evolved over 40 years, and I see more coming because last week I had a bit of an incident. There's nothing wrong with me, but I thought there was. And I sat in the emergency room, and I was have a hiatus hernia, and I have severe acid reflux, and it was out of control, and I thought I was having a heart attack. And all I could think of is nobody but me has the passwords for this, 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 and this. And I can't leave away like this, because my goal when I retired was to try and keep my service for OA. I never volunteered except for one hour a week at the public school where my grandson went. The rest of the time, my volunteer was OA, because OA is important to me. OA saved my life. That I will stop. I'm done. That's time. So then, the workshop will end at 5 p.m. For the rest of the time, we'll hear 3-minute pitches from the floor. The timer, who is here in front, Laura. Will signal you when you have 1 minute left. If you would like to share, please form a line at the front of the room. We remind you that this session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. Remain anonymous. Please use a fictitious name. Choose not to share. Please say where you are from and how long you've been in OA, but devote to your OA experience, strength, and hope on the topic of this workshop, Decades in Recovery. The meeting is open for sharing.
I'm so happy to say I am Anne Marie from Duluth, Minnesota, and a compulsive overeater. And I joined when I was 24. I'm 75 now, so I've been in 51 grateful years. And it's absolutely overwhelming to be here in this meeting, just listening to this. And one of my first thoughts are about how unique every single story is, with the same underlining theme. I mean, it's just astounding how different we all are and how we're all the same. And by the way, because this is being recorded, Mary Tyler Moore threw her hat up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. People in Minnesota would be very offended if they listened to this. So I know you're not at fault, but you know, I'm responsible to correct the record. But you know, the other thing I think of, and this is so weird because I'm not a Grateful Dead fan or a Jerry Garcia fan, but only thing I can think of, he's got a famous quote, and it's, what a long, strange trip this has been. You know, and I am truly emotional because one of the things I thought of, it's so unexpected. I was really looking forward to coming to this session, but I didn't know how many feelings it would bring up. Four of the ladies who I hung with 51 years ago were all passed. None of them died abstinent or healthy, and three of my sponsors in all these years have passed. I really haven't thought much about that. What's important for me to say? This, my favorite line in the big book, page 84, this is not an overnight matter. I have got this a minute at a time. This program every single day. The reason why I'm here is, bless Zoom, I met four women on Zoom during COVID. They're from the Rochester group, one's from Chicago. We met here for the first time in person. We planned this for, oh my God. Why that's important, just because I love them and they're beautiful people. Heart and soul of my recovery is connecting with people. And that's taken me every year of my life to learn how to connect. My abstinence and my OA recovery has come with my mental health journey, my recovery from childhood violence. It's just hand in hand every step of the way. I'm here because you show up. I'm here because for some reason I kept coming back. The suffering had everything to do with it, except for one other thing. When I was living in a place where there was almost no OA, my sponsor was also in AA, and she told me, go to AA, go to open meetings, you know, learn the steps. And that is where I learned the steps. And this AA meeting I went to almost every day at noon, every time somebody spoke, the whole group, and it was a huge meeting, the whole group would say to them, keep coming back. And that's what I say now. At every meeting I go to, if I speak, if there's people listening, I say, keep coming back. It goes in my ears, and that's the most important. He said, just keep coming back. You can't help but get better if you can show up and just listen to all our stories. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the people who have organized this.
My name is Laura. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater undereater.
Hi,
everybody. I feel like I'm repeating the same thing. I'm a little tired hearing myself say it, but I've got 36 and three quarters years. March will be my 37th year in this program. I say with all humility, thank you to our wonderful speakers. I'm the baby of the bunch compared to what I've heard so far. But I don't know what to say about it, but when I heard people sharing, it did remind me of the people that have passed in my life that I know. Some of them were just relatives, and it reminds me also of the people in the program who were sort of in and out, and, you know, they said they were working the program, and maybe they were to the best of their ability, but I don't know, they just didn't want help on certain things. And, you know, it was a sad ending for one person in particular on life support, but my husband went to see this person, and that's the right thing to do. And I felt like he kind of communicated with me a little. It was really beautiful. And then there was another person on life support. That was a total shock. So, you know what? I'm so grateful to be alive and to be talking at this convention. And, I liked how you guys broke it down by the decades. That was pretty amazing. I don't know if I can remember what happened in the decades, except something very significant. We were talking at lunch that I met my husband at the World Service Convention in 1997. And it was a whole story because I had met him at the East Coast Convention before that one. And then we talked on the phone every day for 90 days. And then, you know, we got together, sort of, but not really. You know, like, I thought I liked him, but I didn't think I liked him like that, you know. So it was really funny. It was funny. And he was the one guy that when I went to have breakfast, you know, he went with me, and I needed, like, six of something. And he was like, go ahead, get what you need. I was like, oh my God, I gotta keep this guy. Because, you know, normally I'm very shame based, like, oh, that's too much. And, you know, he was like, go ahead, get what you gotta get. It's okay. I was like, okay, very good. So, you know, I agree with what was said about coming back, because I did relapse at 4 years into the program. Thank God, not a long relapse, but that's the only solution for me, is to come back and to see lots of things about people that don't come back. But I just extend my hand with love, like they say. Cause, but for the grace of God, go I. My time's up. Thanks.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
I am a razor, grateful, recovering food
addict.
Hi, everyone. And when I saw the title of this particular, had to go, and I thought, oh, it's going to be full, and I'll have to look for a seat. And before I go on, I want to thank Charlene and Linda. That's part of the old day trick. I completely thank you for sharing. Thank you both. Really good. It's good to be here. I wrote down a few things because then I'm now 88 years old. So I don't remember saying sorry. And been here for decades. Went to OA on a cold, windy night in January 1976. I have never left the room. 39 years old at that time. I was very unhappy. I didn't even know how unhappy I was. I had a smile on my face. I thought I was happy. but I kept getting bigger and getting close to 300. And that, you know, in itself was so difficult for me. And I can only say I'm so grateful for loving me, how big I got. He was wonderful. And instead of criticizing me, I got, I feel OA saved my life. I just celebrated the 49 years in program, and I'm absent from giving away 130 pounds. I'm a miracle. Miracle that I'm still here at age, because so many people come in and go out. And I too have lost. I stopped counting at 15, and my dear friends lost. And why my higher power has me still here and in pretty good health. My shoulder, and that's why I'm using the cot, because I don't want to do surgery. But anyway, I've received many gifts in the program. My first book in 1980, and it was something I'd never experienced before. I walked into a room full of happy people. Everybody just said, welcome, keep coming back. And it blew my mind. It was so much going on in there. They were most of the part. Oh, okay. I quickly say that they had me come back again because they were just.
Work with you?
No, thanks. I used my card.
Good. Coming into good evening. My name is Michelle. I'm Rhode Island.
Hi.
And I have been in OA for 20 years. And I am delighted to be here. There are people who have more time than a meme that goes in my head is, you came in 2002 and I haven't gotten it perfect yet. What's wrong with you? And thank goodness I have friends in the program, and one of which is sitting right in this room today, who remembers when I came in. And she says, you're different. You. I appreciate the decade. I really appreciate it. I didn't realize, I mean, I've heard it in other programs, you know, you're 10 years in and this happens. You're 15 years in and this happens. That kind of long-term commitment, this is the one thing I absolutely know I have kept walked away. I always kept coming. And I relate to the people who said to me, or I've heard today, who said, you know, I won 100 pounds and I didn't want to go back to the meeting. I didn't want to face people. I don't particularly enjoy my yo-yo journey. I mean, I sit here and I keep on. Yep, I've gained and lost. I've gained and lost. I'm still 40 pounds down from my highest weight. Maybe, right? Thank you so much. And I remember somebody saying to me, it has to do with that when you lose the weight, sometimes you put on that weight plus that amount. I could be 350 pounds. But I'm not. I'm going to keep coming. Thank you.
Maybe we close with this. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we close with the Serenity, and we could do it in the we version. Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
And do we do some? Oh, do we do?
I think we might shut that off. That part we don't have to shut off.
Thank you.